Tyler Waldrop joins us from the Tulsa World. He is Oklahoma State beat writer for that great publication. Tyler, hello. Welcome to our show.
Hey, how are you doing?
Oh, we're doing good. We're going to preview Oklahoma State. It looks like, on paper, they have everything you need outside of maybe a proven defense, but they got a lot of guys back on defense. It looks like they are primed to have a really good year. What could keep that from happening?
Well, I think this, you know, probably the same thing that could impact most teams would just be an injury to kind of the guy. And for Oklahoma State, that's Ollie Gordon. So, a lot's been said about Ollie. From a football standpoint, that I fully expect him to repeat with how successful he's been. I've heard some talk of just, you know, maybe he might wear down with the workload he had last year. You know, he led the nation in rushing. So I do think that's a concern. And obviously teams are going to stack the box, but I kind of think he's going to be successful even if they do stack the box. So I expect a big season for Ollie Gordon. That said, if he were to have an injury, there's almost no proven depth behind him. There's a transfer from Indiana who did great for them, but still wasn't a workhorse the same way Ollie was. So I think that's probably the biggest concern if you're an Oklahoma State fan right now.
What is it about, and you may disagree with this premise, but I think Mike Gundy is a topic and always. What is it about him that he seems to have a trance over Stillwater and that program? He said when Ollie Gordon got arrested, well, his punishment is he's going to play more. Basically, we're going to give him the ball more. And then he said he went out drunk driving 100 times. We've seen some other just crazy opinions. Nothing ever seems to stick with him. I know he wins a lot, but he doesn't really win anything. Is he just that valuable to that program that he's irreplaceable?
That question comes from my son who can't stand Mike Gundy. But go ahead, answer it, Tyler.
I didn't say that.
Yeah, I mean, I would say especially around this area, just in terms of Gundy's influence, I mean, I think that's the influence of the modern day, in most places, football coach. There's a couple areas where we could point to basketball coaches that have that same level of influence. But, I mean, I think if you're a coach and you stick around, which is no easy thing these days, but if you're a coach and you're there 5 or 6 years, just by being there that long, you're going to accumulate influence. And, Gundy doesn't have the signature wins that we expect of these sort of household names. But, I mean, this is his 20th season leading Oklahoma State. But making it 20 years anywhere is a pretty tall task. And I think just the fact that he's survived and made it this long and that Oklahoma State has been successful under him, I think you're just going to accumulate sort of that amount of respect or prestige or whatever you want to call it, just over time almost.
With Oklahoma going to the SEC, how does that affect Oklahoma State? It's got to play into it a little bit, but what's the feeling there about that?
The interesting thing is that rivalry clearly matters, but for Oklahoma State fans, I think they're doing their best to – especially where football's concerned, move on. Oklahoma's, they're not going to play. There's not a reasonable path to seeing those two teams play anytime soon. So I think it's a game people probably wish, could be on the schedule at some point, but it's not. I think the biggest impact it's going to have is, it'll be interesting to see how recruiting shakes out. I personally think Oklahoma State is well positioned to become a face of the new Big 12. I think Oklahoma's gone. Texas is gone. Oklahoma State, in theory, on paper, should be positioned to win or compete in most of these Big 12 championship games coming up the next couple of years. If they can do that, can Oklahoma State's recruiting profile go up nationally? I don't know. I'm really interested to see that. That's what I'm interested to write about. And if Oklahoma struggles in the SEC, they're in a better conference, but do people want to go play for Oklahoma now that they're in the SEC if they're competing to be fifth, sixth, wherever they are in the SEC? So could Oklahoma's recruiting profile take a small dip? I'm really interested to see how that affects things in state and nationally with, you know, the guys that are going to choose to play for these schools in the next 2-3 years.
Yeah, interesting. Tyler Waldrop with us from the Tulsa World. We're talking Oklahoma State football. Interesting schedule. We always like looking at this stuff. 3 non-conference games, South Dakota State, Arkansas, Tulsa, and then a home game against Utah, a road game against Kansas State. Many believe those three teams, you include Oklahoma State, are the three best in the Big 12. That's a really interesting way to start Big 12 play for the Cowboys.
Yeah, I mean, count me among pretty much everybody. I'm looking at Oklahoma State, I'm looking at Utah, and I'm looking at Kansas State, the small for the Big 12. I might be jumping ahead. I think Oklahoma State is going to be in the Big 12 title game this year. But to do that, you almost have to go 2-0 to start Big 12 play. You need to beat Utah. You need to beat Kansas State. Because if those are the teams that are going to be in contention, you really want to have that, you know, put them down one and have that tiebreaker over them. So, a huge crucial stretch. The opening, I think the opening games are really interesting. I think games Oklahoma State should take care of, but, you know, South Dakota State winning the FCS just makes that an interesting game. I think going up against Arkansas, you know, a regional opponent, a team that needs a win badly. I'm interested to see what, you know, I have to imagine Arkansas in the first 3 weeks is pulling out all the stops to get some wins early. So I think the opening slate is going to be maybe more interesting than people expect, but I still think Oklahoma State should have the talent to kind of separate itself and at least get those wins early.
And K-State and Utah, interestingly, don't play one another this year. So for whatever that's worth. Yeah,
I was just going to ask you about this offense. It's like they've got like ages of NFL veterans, not just like NFL young players, but seventh-year quarterback, a bunch of sixth-year guys on the line. How much is that an advantage for Oklahoma State, just having guys that have seen everything?
I think that, and this is true of several positions, the biggest thing is the offensive line. I mean, I think there are seven guys that started multiple games last season, and if I remember correctly, I think all of those guys might be fifth-year seniors or might be fifth-year players or older. There's a really good chance that whoever Oklahoma State's offensive lineman is at worst a 4 or 5 year guy this season, even with a couple injuries, even if they need to sub in some guys that maybe, you know, we're not expecting to be the starters at the beginning of the season. So I think that's probably the biggest thing is just experienced offensive lineman, a quarterback that's, you know, I feel like as, you know, been in college football forever and Alan Bowman. I think it's huge. I think the biggest thing that we've heard throughout the offseason is spring was more productive, fall is more productive because we're not wasting any time we're not starting over. The freshmen, and Gundy was pretty honest about this the other day, the freshmen, it's kind of on those guys. They're going to need to figure out a way to make up time because we're not starting at the normal start place for this team. So many guys are back. So many guys have been here forever. We're starting at, you know, they're starting at like practice 3 or practice 5. And, you know, so if Oklahoma State can capitalize on that, you know, hopefully start this season a little bit closer to game 2 or game 3, just in terms of execution. And maybe guys don't make the dumb penalties that sometimes you see freshmen make because they get confused or flustered. I think it could be huge. The experience is a big reason I think Oklahoma State will have a special season this year.
What do you think about, obviously, the new Big 12 with the 16 teams and teams coming in and all the teams moving and the different conferences? How do you see it all turning out? We talked earlier in the show about, you know, Utah, I think, is ranked 13th in the coaches poll, and that's the highest Big 12 team. Do you see that as being the trend that will stay throughout the year?
In terms of Utah being the highest, or just, just the Big 12's best team?
Just with the SEC and Big Ten, and is that just going to be where everybody's going to be talking about?
Yeah, I think, and people around here they may hate hearing this, but you know, whenever the Big 12 commissioner has spoken, he's been pretty clear. The Big 12 is one of the top three conferences. And none of the interviews I've seen has he, made any statements on the Big 12 being the best conference. I don't think it's the best conference right now. So I do think, especially early on, all the attention is going to go to the Big 10. I think it's going to go to the SEC. And I think whether you like what those conferences have done or not, they kind of deserve the attention. I mean, just look at, the Big Ten has Ohio State, Michigan, Penn State, Oregon, Washington, and other teams. I'm excited to see how that conference shakes out. I'm excited to see how the SEC shakes out with Texas and Alabama and Georgia and LSU. I think those conferences are interesting because of, just the sheer number of, high-profile programs they have. I think the Big 12 is clearly third in that list. But I think the thing the Big 12 does have going for it is Oklahoma and Texas are gone. So on one hand, you can go, oh, we lost sort of the faces of the conference. On the other hand, anyone in the conference right now, if they can get their act together, can say, can we become Oklahoma and Texas? And if any of these teams, I think, can win consistently over the next 3 or 4 years, I think they're just going to get vaulted into that top level. I think recruits will get funneled towards those programs. I think money will get funneled towards those programs because they'll be winning the Big 12. They'll be going to the playoff every year. And if you do that enough years in a row, you can build a, look what Dabo Swinney did with Clemson, basically at the start of the playoff era. I think there's at least one or two spots in the Big 12. If anyone can claim those spots, you can basically say, we're going to vault into the national consciences the same way Clemson did. And I think that's exciting. I think that's exciting for these teams. I think it's exciting for the Big 12. And I also think, as much as I kind of think it's going to be Utah, Kansas State, Oklahoma State, if you told me you could name five other teams in the conference, and if you said, they're going to be there, I wouldn't be completely stunned. I think it is a competitive league. So I'm really interested to see how the league goes this year, but 3 years out, I think that's when we're going to kind of see, how excited are people with these conferences. And that's, to me, is a lot more interesting than talking about it just in terms of this year.
Tyler, thank you so much. We appreciate your time talking Oklahoma State football, Big 12. We're excited for the season to begin. I'm sure you are as well. We appreciate it. Thank you.
Awesome. Thank you all so much. Have a great day.